It's something that God has taught me, and I wish I'd learnt this when I first got saved, Grant, because it would have helped me so much. We all are going on a journey with God. And you know, sometimes you go to the altar, you give your life to God, but you've got things to deal with. And I think the biggest downfall is our thoughts. Because our thoughts can help us or they can hurt us. Our thoughts can affect our health. Our thoughts can affect our mood. Our thoughts affect all our personal relationships. And I love a quote that I found recently off Joyce Meyer, and she says, "Where the mind goes, the man follows." Yeah. And she's taken this from Romans 8, which tells us that we all have an outer life, which everyone sees. But when you're born again, when you've given your life to Christ, you have an inner life, which only God and God's Spirit sees. 1 Peter 3 verse 4 tells us, and don't worry if you can't get it, because a lot of these scriptures I'm going to quote from the Amplified to save time. But I can give you them later if you want them. To save time. Yeah, because I've got 10 pages here. I mean, I might not get to do all this afternoon, but this is so base. This is such a strong foundation that we all need to take in our spirits, not just our minds. 1 Peter 3 verse 4 tells us, "Let it be the inward adorning and beauty of the hidden person of the heart, with the uncorruptible and unfading charm of a gentle and peaceful spirit, which is not anxious or wrought up, but is very precious in the sight of God." So it's not our outward adornment, it's not what we wear. It's not the jewellery that we ladies like to put on to brighten ourselves up with, or our makeup. It's not how many chapters of the Bible that we read in a day. It's not how many scriptures you can quote. And it's not down to how many church meetings that you attend. God is more concerned with our well-being, particularly what we're thinking, because this affects our motivation for doing. He's more interested in the why behind the what. Why are we doing things than what are we doing? You can give a gift to someone, but it can be with a lousy attitude. Yeah. You can give it in order to get. Yeah. Your giving can sometimes be to get in favour with that person. Yeah. That giving sometimes is because you want a certain promotion at work. That giving can be to buy a friendship. Or sometimes it can even be a giving to pacify a person who's mad with you. But the true motive should be a motive of love, because you want to be a blessing. You want to help someone. And it's a giving out of an appreciation of what God has done for us, like we've just sung. You give and take away, but my heart will say, "Blessed be the name of the Lord." It's a simple acceptance. It's a simple spiritual rule. Even the world knows that what you sow, you reap. What you give out, you get back. But it's not for the blessing that we give. That's not the ultimate motive. It's giving with no strings attached. I remember many years ago we attended a church, and we decided that they could do with a set of drum kits, and God laid it on our hearts to give some finance towards buying a drum kit, and we did it. Going further down the line, the elders came to us because they wanted to know whether we were taking that drum kit with us. And we were taken aback. And we said, "We've given a gift, and it was unto the Lord. And once you give them to it, there's no strings attached. You cut them off. Amen. We're not taking it back." But that's what the attitude of a lot of leaders. They give because they're trying to move on, make a name for themselves, be on the God channel, be on this, that and the other. And God sees it. And it stinks in his nostrils. And our motivation has to be to give with no strings attached. And sometimes we deceive ourselves, you know, You give and you think you're giving out of a heart that's pure and out of love. But sometimes it comes back to you that the motivation, God will put his hand and say, your motivation weren't right, you know. But we just give it back to God. It's the inner life that God is looking at. He's looking how real your inner life is. How many people compromise the reputation with God to have a good reputation with people. Galatians 1 verse 10, Paul said, now I am trying to win the favour of men. Am I trying to win the favour of men or God? Do I seek to please men? If I were still seeking popularity with men, I should not be a bondservant of Christ. Experience has taught me, I'm talking about me here, that if I try to get everyone to like me, the result is a phony life. Yeah. Because what happens on the road is, you compromise. You're allowing people to rule and to control you. And you lose the call of God on your life. Yeah. And there comes a point where you think, that's it, no more. It's God. I'm going with God and God alone. Jonathan, some years ago, brought to us the power that lies in the tongue. James 3 verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it can boast of great things. See how much wood, how our greater forest, the tiny spark, can set ablaze. And the tongue is a fire. But alongside that, in Proverbs 4 verse 22, it pinpoints the heart as the key to all this. Because it says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance. And above all that, got you guard, for out of it flows the springs of life. The springs of life come from one place, your thought life. It starts in our thought life. How many of you today realize that when you get up in the morning, that will set for you what the course of your day? You know? The enemy starts even before you open your eyes with negative thoughts of what you've got to do in the day. Or, you know, you can set up and you get up, the alarm's not gone off and you're late and you know that you've got to catch up and try and get off. And that is it set the course for the rest of your day. Well, I heard an account recently of a man who had a miserable life. And he learnt of a principle that he started to put into practice. And what he did is he woke up in the morning and he imagined a tablet in front of him. And on that tablet he had to write 10 things he was thankful for before he even stepped out of bed. And his life started to have a turnaround. Now I've started to do this in the morning. As I'm waking up, I'm conscious of waking, straight away, 10 things I've started thinking of what I'm thankful for. And do you know, it really does, the frame of your mind is set for the rest of the course of that morning. Even if you're running late, you learn. You see, the question is, are you going to let what you think affect you if it's negative? Because if you do, then you will be riding, you'll be under the circumstances all day instead of riding above them. And by thinking of 10 positive things, you then find that no matter what comes over the day, you're able to ride over them. You live in victory. Many people have given their lives to God, but they never learn how to think differently. So they never live a full life in Christ, the life that Christ has set them free. You might come across somebody in your own life, and have you ever noticed they might say, oh, he's got a stinking attitude. I work with some that have got stinking attitude, so does Philip. And the reason is that the thinking stinking is because they're thinking stinking. Is that right? Did I say that right? The reason they've got a stinking attitude is because they're thinking stinking. That's right. Jeremiah 4 verse 14. This is to the church. Jeremiah said, O Jerusalem, wash your heart from wickedness that you may be saved. How long shall your iniquitous and grossly offensive thoughts lodge within you? He was talking to God's people here. And you know, many years ago, Andrew gave a sermon, and Francis in America still remembers it, about the fella in the cellar taking over from the fanatic in the attic. And it was a fantastic message. I mean, one of these days he might bring it back again, I don't know. We as God's people can have offensive, grossly offensive thoughts. Do you know what one of them is? It's worry. Worry is an offence to the Holy Spirit. Because when we worry, we're saying to God, you can't take care of me. You know, the excuse is, and I've been there, well, I can't help it. So why, in Matthew 6 verse 34, Mark 13 verse 11, Luke 12 verse 22, are we told not to be anxious, worried? Now I'll put my hand up here, because I've been a major one at this. You know, since being saved, I've struggled with letting go. Letting go of situations, letting go of circumstances that have caused anxiety. And you try to find a solution, or you just simply turn them over and over and over in your mind. And you see the scriptures, cast your cares upon the Lord. Cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against God. So I'd start the day and I'd try to do that. I mean, any of you lot been the same? Yeah. You start the day and then suddenly that thought comes in your mind and you thought, no, and you give it to God. And then you go off and then 10 minutes later that same thought comes up and you think, no, I'm giving it to God, and it goes on. And about the middle of the day, you just found yourself absolutely exhausted, physically and mentally. Well, you get so exhausted that you start on a negative spiral. It starts and you just get too tired to be able to combat it, and you go down. And people's lives are in a big mess. The reason they end up that way is because their minds are in a big mess. Yeah. Alcoholics. Their lives don't get straightened up until the thinking is straightened up, do they, John? John's a testimony. He got his thinking. God straightened his thinking up. So going back to a couple of years ago, I found myself at the end of my tether, just being trapped in a miserable life. And I came across a definition of pessimism by a director of a leading retail fashion house. And I've shared it before, and I'm going to share it again. She said one of her number one hate was pessimism. Now, this is a secular person here talking about it. She said it's a state of mind. It saps one of energy, one of confidence, one of passion, and one of creativity. Then she goes on to say, and I have very little tolerance of negativity, rumours or gossip. I believe in a make-it-happen attitude, and that for every negative, there are countless positive opportunities. Yeah. Now, I've got that at work, and I know they've got it at Andrew's place. Because that is it's constantly putting it before me. You know, it's easy when you're in a school and you see the children, they say, well, they were born stupid, they'll always be stupid. And you have to really come across, break that negative attitude. Yeah. Well, the parents were drug takers, so they'll be drug takers. Yeah. And it's breaking that cycle all the time, you know, what people say. So I have it up at work, and I've been really, it's really blessed me, because you bring it into practice, you start doing it. But you know, it's still a habit that's got to be broken. And I've heard recently of a battle that Joyce Meyer describes that she'd had. And she was doing the same as us, trying to break down all this every time a worry came down and she got exhausted. And God told her, he said, Joyce, there is a simple answer to this. So Joyce, being Joyce Meyer, said, well, God, what is it then? And he simply replied, just think a good thought. When the worry comes up, when the anxiety comes up, think a good thought. And wrong thoughts will have no place to get in. But if you sit around empty-headed, the wrong thing is going to jump right back into your empty-headed brain again. So every time she thought of a negative thing, she thought of a good thing, and she found release. And it's the same with us, choosing not to say negative things, but making a concerted effort not just to speak them, but to say something that will change the situation that's good. Because you've got to call into being those things that are not. Amen. You are a prophet of your own life. Yes. And if you have got a miserable life, I'm sorry, I'm going to be very blunt here, but it's you that's made it that way. It's your thought life. Yes. Genesis 1 spoke and it came into being. Yes. And that's the spiritual principle for us all. Now, I got to a point where I stopped saying negative things. Amen. But then I said, after a while, I said, but nothing's happening, God. I've stopped talking negatively, but nothing's happening. And he says, because you've got to replace that with speaking into being the positive things. And you do that by taking God's scriptures. And you speak it over to yourself. Speak it over the boy, about the boys and the family. Positive things. That's why it's so important to know the truth. Because you can't speak positive things if you don't know what you're going to speak into being. What is the positive thing to speak? And I'm going to show you an illustration. I hope it sticks with you for the rest of the week. And how important it is to speak good thoughts and how you can rebuild your life. Right? Right. So, I hope you can all see this. Right. I've got some bricks here, and these represent thoughts. Well, people don't like me. Well, ever you think that? They won't. Yeah. See how many of these, you know, you've actually sort of thought yourself. Well, my grandmother was poor. My mother was poor. I'm poor. I'm going to be poor. Right? Whatever you think that, that's what's going to happen. I'm a failure. They even say this at school. You think that, you will be it. Right? I can't hear from God. Well, whatever you're saying that, with that stinking thinking, God's speaking to you, but you're not hearing. He's speaking to you just as much as he's speaking to somebody else. But it can't get through because you won't believe the word of God. The word says, my sheep hear my voice. Amen. So quit saying that and speaking out, I can hear God. Right? You can't trust anyone. Well, just because some people have let you down doesn't mean that the whole world is like that. Come on, let's stop generalizing. Let's get in the right perspective. I'm not creative. I have to watch that one. That's one I always say. I'm stupid. I'm a slow learner. I'm shy. I've got no money. I'm fat. I'm overweight. And my metabolism doesn't work. Nobody likes me. I'm ugly. Nobody'll marry me. I'll probably be lonely all my life. I'll never have any money. I'll never have a decent job. I can see those cars other people drive. I'll never live in a nice house. I'm so clumsy. People keep telling me I'm clumsy, so I must be. Oh, look what we've built. A house. And we're living in the middle of it. But we're not alone, you know. The devil, who's giving you all those negative thoughts, is in the middle of there. Yeah. Right, that's how we are. How do we get rid of it? We tear it down. Amen. We replace it. We start again. We build up. We build another one. You line your thoughts with the word of God. Yeah. Then your life will change. You know, that is it. You've got to tear it down. It says tearing down the strongholds of Satan. Yeah. You know, the devil is no respecter of persons. He will take anybody. So you've got to get to that place where you've got to stand there and, you know. Even the world has caught hold of this principle that if they start taking positive things, then they'll go well. A man some years ago had a great big secular bestseller in the books. It was called The Power of Positive Thinking. Do you know he was charging over £45 a seminar for people to go and listen to him. Now, his theory wasn't based on religious foundation. It was just something he'd come over. And his seminars were always fully booked. God says, my words are spirit and they are life. Yep. His word has power in them. They have healing power in them. They've got the life of God in them. And when they have spoken, they have power to destroy oppressive things. They give life and restoration. It doesn't matter who stands at the frontier. When they speak in God's words, they speak in words of life when they speak God's word. I did a little short message on the word and how the sun shines on us. When we read the Psalms in the morning, how those words, God's word is sunshine to us. It feeds us. And that's it. The healing power of God. You need to say what God says and bypass all those years of negative thinking that's logged on in your brain. You know, it's like when Daniel and Luke sometimes have got to update the computer at home. They get a disk and they put the disk into the computer. And then the computer has to load it up and log it into its memory. Right? Well, we have to constantly update our thinking by speaking God's word. Isaiah 61 verse 7. Instead of your former shame, you shall have a twofold recompense. Instead of dishonor and reproach, your people shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double what they have forfeited. Come on! I want double of what has been stolen. I want double of what's been forfeited in my life. Philip lost out on some redundancy money, and I still believe we're going to get it. God's going to get it us back. Everlasting joy shall be theirs, it says. God will give double blessing for your trouble if you do things his way. Romans 12 verse 2. Do not be conformed to this age, fashioned and adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself, not for your neighbour, not for your husband or your wife, not for your sons, not for those around you, for yourself, that you will prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. We're to be in the world, but not be like the world. To experience the good life of God, you've got to think like God thinks. He says, my ways are higher than your ways. Yeah? Don't see yourself as valueless. Don't see yourself as broken down. Stop seeing yourself as miserable, as useless, a good-for-nothing person. God sees what you can become. Not just what you are, not what you've been, but what you are in him. And it's taken such a long time for that to sink into me. Because as soon as you make a mistake, I go down on the negative spiral. Oh, I've not changed. Oh, this. Oh, what must people think of me? That's not the case. God sees you as you are in him. But this is the problem. Amos 3 verse 3 tells us, Do two walk together except they make an appointment and have agreed? Some of us are trying to walk with God and we're constantly pulling against him. We won't be in agreement with anything he tries to tell us. Get in agreement with God. Amen. Right? Philippians 4 verse 9 and 8. I have earnestly tried to bring the boys up with this scripture. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and is honourable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there's any virtue and excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. The world today for young people is full, it's demonic, it's telling them life is too short, get on, enjoy life. If it feels good, do it. They don't point out there are consequences for actions. They don't point out that it destroys not just your conscience, your soul, your physically, all inside you, you know, your soul and everything, your makeup. So I've always tried to get the that scripture across to the boys, what is good. And sometimes, I mean, some of the DVDs that come out, and you think, oh, but you have to believe that at least inputted into them is that they think on the good and the wholesome and the winsome things. Practice what you have learnt and received and heard and seen in me. Model your way of living on it. And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. If you've learnt nothing today, go with this one thing. Go determine for the rest of this week, you will think good thoughts. Hallelujah. Let's just pray. Father, I just thank you and praise you. Father, I just thank you for your eternal word. Thank you, you've told us that we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. Thank you, Father, that this afternoon even the very spirit of oppression has been broken because your word has been spoken and that, Father, it's fallen on good ground. Ground that will yield a harvest, Father. 30, 60, 90, 100. And I just praise you and thank you, Father. And even, Father, when things are coming against us, I pray, Lord, that we will focus on good things, on your word, and we'll speak it into being and rebuild our houses, Father, that what comes forth out of our hearts are good things, worthy of your praise and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.